Good morning. Today I'll be reading Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 6. That's Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 6. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he was being dead, still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see dead, and he was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him.
Good morning. It is wonderful to see everyone today. If you're visiting with us, you are certainly our honored guests, and we're thankful that you are here with us as well today. As we mentioned earlier, please keep in mind all of those that we know that are traveling and those that we are missing for a variety of reasons, and we certainly want to reach out to them this week. This happened, by the way, in a household somewhere in our vicinity yesterday. It was about 3:30 in the afternoon yesterday afternoon, and there was a husband who had been just enjoying the day around the home, and then he began to notice that his wife was doing kind of what I refer to as the huff and blow. You know, when you're not in trouble, but the thing, you know, and then he began to think, you know, what can I do to please her, to make her happy? And I thought, well, you know, let's see if we can make arrangements to go out to dinner, he said. Well, he said, dear, why don't I take you to dinner? I mean, it's 3:30 in the afternoon. Surely there's no place would be crowded right now because everybody else is watching football this afternoon. So I'll just take you to dinner. So out they went. And they went on their way, and they got to this restaurant, and there at this steakhouse, they ordered a pair of steaks that were really nice. And then as the waiter came, he came out, by the way, earlier and said, hi, you know, I'm so-and-so, and I'm here to please you, whatever you need, you know, just be sure and remember my name. And so he came out there, and he brought the steak, and he set the steak down in front of the man, and he had his thumb on the steak. And the man pushed back from the table. He said, what are you thinking, putting your thumb on my steak? And the waiter said, well, you didn't want it to slide off on the floor again, did you? Well, he was just acting like, you know, just be happy your steak showed up. Now you know where I'm going, don't you? Sometimes we treat God like that. Aren't you happy that I just showed up? Think about this with me today. From what we read in Hebrews chapter 11, and what we're going to be talking about today has to do with pleasing God. And a faith that is one that is going to be pleasing to God looks like what Enoch did. Did you notice in verse 5, Enoch was not. I always loved that. Enoch was not. Why was he not? He didn't see death because he pleased God. He sought out to please God. I venture to say that means Enoch did more than just show up. So when we think about pleasing God, that puts a different spin on our relationship with him. And as we think about these things today, I would like for us to consider what faith really looks like. We read there in the first verse a definition of what faith is. I assert to you today faith is something that is truly assured. And as we look at this idea of assurance this morning, and we consider this very first verse, we see here that faith, according to what we read, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, I like to do word studies. So I got into these things, and here's what I gather from the essence of the text here. This faith is something that hopefully, now we use the word hope like it's a wish in the wind, but that's not what I'm talking about today. This faith is something that hopefully it has great expectations, confidently trusting in the evidence that it sees from that which is unseen. That's assurance. An assurance of a God. And we see a connection there in that assurance when we get down to verse 3. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. The Bible tells us that the things that we see, the things that we touch, the things that we know were created by God. Genesis chapter 1 tells us that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Now watch verse 3. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God was. God hovered. God said, God created it all. Do you believe it? I mean, do you really believe it? A lot of the time we acknowledge and go, mm-hmm. But do you really believe it? Do you believe that God created things in the very order in which he said that he did? Because in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. And all things were made through him. And without him was not anything made that was made. Do you believe that before the beginning, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, and God the Son existed? You see, we need to evaluate whether or not we are truly assured. Because the world has planted so many doubts in our thinking, we need to evaluate whether or not we are truly assured that the design of the universe is the result of the God of the Bible, the all-knowing, all-powerful, and all-present God of the Bible. If we are assured, we need to evaluate the evidence of our assurance. Because Enoch was assured that God would keep all of his promises, and Enoch was not. Why? Because he pleased God. So what are we doing to please God? What are you doing today? Well, we come before him in worship. But what are we really doing to please God? Well, I have faith that there is a God above who created all of those things. James gives us something interesting in chapter 2, beginning of verse 17. Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Uh-oh. What, James? My faith is demonstrated by something that I do? Someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works and I'll show you my faith by my works. You believe there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Something for us to consider. If I'm assured, if I have an assured faith that there is a God, that he has kept all of his promises, what am I doing? I'm going to have an opportunity to do something, by the way. Every one of us will. On October the 5th, churches of Christ across the nation will be going on a coordinated effort to door knock. To door knocking. We're going to participate in that. right here. We're going to go into some neighborhoods and we're going to knock doors and invite others to come and hear the gospel. On that Sunday, we're going to have a lesson that is going to be surrounded around what must I do in order to be saved, because of all of the important things in life, no matter how much money we make, no matter how big our family is or how much power we have, the most important thing is, what must I do to be saved? And if I'm assured that there's a God who will keep his promises, then I'm going to take advantage of this opportunity to invite others for Bible study and worship. And we're going to have a fish fry that same day. Try to say that fast, by the way. Fish fry fellowship. That one's not such an easy thing to say. But when we go door knocking, we're going to need helpers. We're going to need people with maps. We're going to need sitters for those who are too young to go out. We're going to need people to be around to hear the funny stories of the people who went out and knocked doors. I promise you, I have never been on a door-knocking trip when I didn't have a funny story to tell. Someone might say, well, Jeff, I don't know about going up and knocking doors and meeting strangers. Well, then come walk with me. Would you do that? Would you come walk with me? Then you can tell a funny story when we get back. Jeff can really run when the dogs go to barking. You have an opportunity to do something to demonstrate that assurance of your faith. This book called the Bible tells us that every single human soul is valuable to the God above. Do you believe it? Do you really believe it? Do you believe that red, yellow, black, and white, they are all precious in his sight? We have an opportunity to demonstrate that assurance that God is who he said he is. We have an opportunity to do those things that God would have us to do to further the gospel of Christ in this neighborhood. I think some of those actors and so forth sometimes, I don't remember where I heard this, but I just remember hearing someone one time in some kind of theatrical piece saying, it's go time. October the 5th is go time. You can make plans now. It's go time. That's what assured faith looks like. How do I know that's what assured faith looks like? Well, when we go back to Hebrews 11 and we get down to verse 8, here's what we find there. By faith, that assured, courageous, hopeful faith, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called out to go to a place which he would receive as an inheritance. He went out not knowing where he was going. He went out not knowing where he was going. Lord, lead me. By faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. You know, when I read these things, you know what I don't see? Abraham didn't say, well, God, this is a bit rash and radical. This is going to be a little inconvenient for me. Well, I've spent quite a bit of my life trying to get things just lined up just so far. You don't read that, do you? You know what I don't read? I need more time. When I get finished with school, or I get the right job, or I get my debts paid, or I get my kids raised, or I get retired, whatever it might be, don't read any of those things. Nope, Abraham just went when God presented the opportunity. Friends, that's what an assured faith looks like. That's what a faith that pleases God looks like. And Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 28, records down at verse 19, go therefore. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I command you. And lo, I will be with you to the end of the age, even if a dog chases you down the street. The Lord will be with us if we will be busy about his work. Pleasing God is of paramount importance. An assured faith is not one that's trying to get away with whatever I can get away with and still squeak into the gates of heaven. An assured faith is going to be one that seeks out to please God. Pleasing God is about being assured of His promises, so much so that we are compelled to act with courage. Courage. Think about courage for a minute. What's the opposite of courage? Well, we find in 2 Timothy 1 that God has not given us a spirit of fear. That seems to be the opposite of courage. Amen? So God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So how do we identify fear? Well, when you hear someone make an excuse for something, do you think courage? What do you think? No, really. Courage has no excuse. But wait a minute, Jeff. Sometimes there are some real things that get in the way. And I do understand there are opportunities for concern. We look at Matthew chapter 8, we pick up verse 23, and we see a challenge that would bring some concern on anybody. Now when he got into the boat, we read there, verse 23, his disciples followed him. And suddenly there arose a great tempest on the sea so that the boat was covered with the waves and Jesus was asleep. Then the disciples came to him and they awoke him saying, Lord, save us, we're perishing. No, I don't think it was like that. I think they came to him and the storm was roaring and the seas were splashing and they said, Lord, save us, we're going to die. Now, Jeff, that's a big storm. You got to understand they had good reason. But wait a minute. When they said, we are dying, what they were doing was telling God what was going to happen. We don't have the right to do that. We can have the right to express our concern. Lord, help me. I don't know which way to go. We don't know what we need to do. We need your help. But we're dying. We don't have that knowledge of the future. But sometimes our fear causes us to see things in the future that never existed. Watch what Jesus says. When we get down here into verse 26, he said to them, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Then he arose, he rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. So it went from thunder and water splashing and the boat's about to sink to now there's a calm. The men marveled. Verse 27, who can this be that the winds and the sea obey him? This same God who created the universe and the perfect environment in which we live, parted the Red Sea, caused the walls of Jericho to fall inside, healed fiery serpent bites by faith when he said, look on the serpent that is the brass serpent that is on the pole. This same God hears us when we call, and he is disappointed when we don't. Do you think the one who did all of these things, the one who stilled the storm for these, will keep the promises that he made to you? He said he'd be with you to the end of the age. He told the apostles that and told them to teach us those things. Moses knew that God would be with him. And he had some challenges, but when we go back to Hebrews 11, we look at verse 24, and we see that by faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, he forsook the things of this world, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Courage takes another look at this word, hope. This word that we often use as a wish in the wind. No, biblical hope is something that has a great expectation based on the evidence that God keeps his promises. Courageous hope knows that God will not let us down. Hope is something that we see that Peter demonstrates with all of his challenges. He goes back to his hope time and time again. We see in Matthew 14 that on the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled. Some versions say they were afraid. They say it was a ghost. And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." Then Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And Peter had come down out of the boat and he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Peter knew that Jesus had healed the sick, raised the dead, and now was walking on the water. Peter knew that if Jesus would invite him to come, that he could in fact do that very thing. Jesus knew the voice of the Savior. Do you? Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." John chapter 10 and verse 27. With all of this knowledge on Peter's side, still the wind began to blow. The wind began to blow. It was blowing hard. But when he saw in verse 30 that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand, caught him, and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And then the wind ceased. And those who were in the boat came and worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Is it time that you reached out to the Savior? "Lord, save me. Lord, save me." How do we get rid of that sin so that we might be saved this very day? Jesus tells us that we must believe that he is the Son of God. We read that in John chapter 8 and verse 24. But read with me as we continue all the way down to verse 29. "Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I'm he, you will die in your sins." And then they said to him, "Who are you?" And Jesus said to them, "Just what I have been saying to you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge concerning you, but he who sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I heard from him." They did not understand that he spoke to them of the Father. Then Jesus said to them, "When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things which please him." He promised, "I'll be with us to the end of the age." Jesus said, "He will not leave us alone when we seek to please him." How do we seek to please him, though? Well, we need to be people who are willing to make him our priority. Well, now, is that real in this life with all of the busy things that we do? Rest assured, my friend, it doesn't matter what we do in this life, everyone will end up in a grave. What's important is, have I been obedient to God? And that includes changing our minds. That's what repentance is all about, because once we change our minds, that's going to cause us to change our actions. Repentance is the result of a faith that has a desire to please God. Paul writes to the church at Corinth, 2 Corinthians 7, verse 10, that godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation not to be regretted. There's no regret in changing one's direction when you truly are assured, when you truly understand the depth of the promises of the mighty God, knowing this, we will please Him when we confess that Jesus is the Son of God before others, as we read it there in Matthew 10 and verse 32. We know that is pleasing to Him, and still sin makes us displeasing to God. And as we stand covered with our sin, we will until we are baptized for the forgiveness of sin. We read about these things in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38 and 22 and verse 16. We're washed in the blood of the Lamb, as we read in Revelation 1 and verse 5. But folks, salvation is not a destination. Salvation is the journey. To please God, we must live faithfully. When we look at Hebrews 11 and 29, we see that by faith they passed through the Red Sea on dry land, whereas the Egyptians were attempting to do so, and they were drowned with walls of water on both sides. According to Exodus 14, 22, they moved forward following Moses. We have walls of distraction on either side of us as we walk through this life. And yet, with all of that, let us remember that faith that is pleasing to God is one that diligently seeks Him. Isn't that what we read there in verse 6? A faith that diligently seeks Him, diligently seeks to please Him. Enoch was not, because he sought and did please God. Jesus tells us that He pleased the Father, as we read in verse 8. So what will it take for you to please God? Well, you've heard this morning what you need to do to get rid of your sin. That's where we begin to please God, and then we walk a faithful life, a one that has turned to make God our priority, one that follows Him, and one that is willing that when those things in this life get in the way and distract us and we begin to sink again in that mire, that we stretch out our hands in prayer and ask for forgiveness. 1 John 1, verse 9, Lord, save me. Today, as we think on these things, I have one thought that I would like to leave you with. We knew plainly this morning that it is our responsibility to please God. Amen? In Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, when all of these things have been brought to the attention of Paul, Ananias makes a statement. The King James Version says, "Why tarriest thou?" Fundamentally, the question is, why do you wait? Don't wait another minute to please God. Please Him now, as together we stand and sing.